One, two. Thank you. Excellent. Hi, guys. How are y'all doing? You tell by the accent, I'm an American. Sometimes people say, are you Canadian? But I'm not Canadian. I've just been here since a long time. So my name is Julio Jackson. I came here to England in 1985, so just a few years ago. I got saved in 1981, but more about that in the sermon. So I'm here with my beautiful wife, Eunice. I got three lovely boys. We got married in 1988, so a few years we've been married. So what an honor and privilege it is to be here amongst you all. So I love the song service. Thank you very much. Remind me, when the Bible says he goes and leaves the 99 to search for the one. He doesn't say if he finds it. He doesn't say, maybe he finds the other sheep. The Bible says when he finds it. Yeah. And what I love about that story the most is when he says when he finds it, he rejoices. And he picks the sheep up and he carries it back to the fold. And so a lot of people think, I'm a burden to the Lord. I'm just a burden. You're not a burden to the Lord Jesus. Yeah. He's happy that you are found. Yeah, he rejoices that you are found. So here's a story. So Susan, last week we talked about coming here at a coffee shop. So this is a very entertaining story here. After church, we go to a coffee shop. It's called Number 5 in Barry St. Edmunds. That's where we live. And they have a communal table, a seat of six. So it's always busy. And sometimes when we get there, that's all you have available to sit. So we sat there. And as we're sitting there getting our coffee, there was a late old lady and her grandson came and sat in the group. So we're talking about coming here, and we mentioned Andrew Wiley and Susan. And she said, oh, hello, because her name was Susan. How do you like that? What's the chances of that happening? So as Eunice and Susan were talking, I'm praying, and I'm saying, God, how can I share Jesus with this individual? Her husband had passed away a year ago, so she's lonely. And bless you, you can hear it in her voice how lonely she was. So about 15 minutes passed by of conversation, and it just dawned on me what to say to this lovely person. And I just said, have you ever heard of, and I used the Greek term for the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I think it's parakletos or paraclete, something like that, if I remember correctly. And she goes, no, I never heard it before. Now, I know she's never heard it because nobody ever talks Greek. And it was a question to pique her interest. She goes, what does it mean? So I know I got her. I said, it means the one who walks beside you. She goes, what? So I said, that's right. I said, God promised that he would send his Holy Spirit down so he could walk beside us so we would never be alone. And she's never heard those words before in her entire life. And so I got to share the gospel message with her about the love of Jesus, about the love of God, and it was just fantastic. So just all on, coming here. So it's fantastic. So yeah, what a blessing it is. So I'm going to start off with a song. So just to let you know, many years of, I got saved in 1981. I've been through, I've done a lot of things. I've done music. I was in two Christian rock bands. We would play on the streets in England, up and down from York, Scotland, Edinburgh, yeah, Glasgow, Wales, down south, Torquay. I think we went to Torquay, London. So we would travel up and down and play on the streets and preach the gospel message. So I was in drama. So I used to lead drama. So a bit of thespian, actor. So I always encourage those that were thespians and actors. It's the only time you can be a hypocrite and still be a Christian. True. because that's what an actor is. It's, you know, it's the Greek word we get hypocrite from, where you try to, you portray somebody you are not. So I start off, we're going to look at Luke chapter 18, 35 to 42. When do we do that? Oh, there it is. Let me do that. There's a song I just want to sing to you that is a very apropos or appropriate for this message. So it's about blind Bartimaeus, and the song goes something like this. O Son of David, have mercy on me. My heart is broken and I can't see. Can you hear me calling, calling out your name? O Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. That's what we're going to talk about.
They're going to expect me to sing next.
And rightly so. So if you're there in your Bible, let's turn it, let's read it together. Luke 18, 35 to 42. Very familiar part of Scripture. So I do believe in just preaching what God says and then shut up and sit down. So that's what we're going to do today. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging and heard a multitude passing by. He asked what it meant, so they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he heard, and when he had come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? And he says, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And then Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Hallelujah. Ain't that exciting? It's an exciting scripture, isn't it? So the good news about the story that we just read is that blind Bartimaeus, he knew that he was blind. You say, well, how is that good news? That's terrible. He was blind. Well, you see, he knew his condition. And in life, sometimes we don't know that we are blind, do we? We don't know we need help. So example of 1981, I was blind. Yeah. I was blind in my own self-righteousness. I was blind in my own goodness because I thought I was all right. So I believed in God. I prayed to God. Things were okay. But see, what I really was is I was just blind until somebody told me about my blindness. They said, Julio, did you know that the Bible says that your good deeds is like filthy rags to God? It's Isaiah 64, 6. I was like, what? And he says, even the demons in hell believe in God and tremble, but they're not going to heaven. It's the book of James. Yep. So I think, oh, that's a very good point. And at this point, I'm feeling quite, you know, a bit depressed. I must admit. And I remember telling to the bloke, I said, well, look, and this was my youth minister, soon to be youth minister, I said, if I'm no better than a whore or a murderer on the street because of my sin, I said, what hope is there? So you see, at this point, my eyes were opened. At this point, my mouth was shut. I was no longer talking about how good or right I am. Yeah, I realize I'm in a desperate situation, just like blind Bartimaeus. He was in a desperate situation. And he cried out to the Lord. And he turns to me, he says, Julio, says, this is the good news. So you got to hear the bad news before you hear the good news. And he says, God hates the sin, but loves the sinner. And I said to the man, I said, I don't have to prove myself to God. Because at the age of 15, that's the age I got saved. You see, you always want somebody to like you, you want somebody to love you, so you try to be somebody you're not. You try to be the actor. Yep. to win people's approval, don't you? And so here I found out that God sees all my faults, all my fears, all my mistakes, all of my anguish, and loves me still. I didn't have to prove myself to God. How fantastic is that? And he said, that's what the cross was all about, is Jesus took our place, and he died in my place and in your place that we deserve because of our sin, because he loved you so much. So in a church van, he turned to me and he said, Julio, if you had a choice between love and hate, which one would you choose? I said, love. If you had a choice between heaven or hell, which one would you choose? And I said, heaven. And he said, why don't you invite Jesus in your heart? And I was like, yeah, hello, why don't I? A little light came on my head and invited Jesus in my heart. And at that point on, I was no longer blind. I was desperate. I needed Jesus. And that's just one portion. So the bad news is, folks, in the church today is, you know, we don't know we're blind. And because we don't know we're blind, we do not seek the one who can fix us. Now, you might think to yourself, well, what do you mean? You know, so you might be sitting here saying you're saved, you love Jesus, my eyes have been opened. But you know what? We go through our Christian walk, and we have blind spots in our that we don't know about. You know, when you drive, you're supposed to be checking your blind spots, aren't you? Yep, you drive, you're supposed to look to your right because you can't see. And new beginners, they only have to not check once, and lo and behold, there's a car there, isn't there, and poof, there's a crash. So something happens when we don't know, we don't check our blind spots. True? And this is exactly what God wants to do. You know, some of our blindness is because of our own selfishness. You know, we do things, but we don't know that we do them that are selfish. If you ever listen to yourself talk, if you're always talking about I, then there's, you know, the old saying is I is always in the middle of sin. That's true. Just saying. Word structure is lovely. but it's true. And so we can be blinded by our own selfishness. We can be blinded by our own greed. Blinded by our own desires. You know, it's when we make excuses for not honoring God and putting him first. We can be blinded by our own anger. Yeah, I deserve to be angry. Once again, I is always in the middle of sin. If you start with the word I, I don't deserve this. I, once again, please note I. He needs to be punished for what he's done for me because he hurt me. She hurt me. People in church hurt one another. Do you know why? Because we're selfish. Because it's human nature. Should it happen? No, it shouldn't. But let me put it, so when it does happen, so look, Jesus says this, if you love who loves you, what good is that? Andrew loves me, I love Andrew, we're good to go, Yeah, that's great. But as soon as I tick Andrew off, do something that just, you know, irks him, said something that I shouldn't have said, well, then love has something to work through. And so in church, when something happens that shouldn't happen, it gives you the capability for the love of God to work through that. You know, when I tell my boys before they date, I said, before you date, you really need to have an argument. Because at that point, it's just fatuation. You know, I love you, you love me, you look good. Yep. It's when you have an argument, then love has something to work through, don't you? You gotta realize, hey, maybe, you know, she likes anchovies, I don't like anchovies, you know, I like pepperoni, you don't like pepperoni on a pizza. You get an argument, don't you? A discord happens. And then you got to figure out a go-between. You got to compromise to see if you can actually get a pizza inside the place. But that, you see, that's what love is all about, isn't it? Love has something to work through. Now, if you don't press on with loving people how God loves them, you're not going to get the victory that God has for you. That's in the story. You will hold on to your bitterness. You will hold on to your disappointments. You will hold on to your resentment and you will be blinded. Because you think you're right. Don't you? Yeah? So forgiveness is this. Forgiveness, best definition I ever heard of forgiveness, is giving up your right for vengeance. It's giving up your right. So let me give you an illustration. It really happened to me in life. It was in church. It was an elder in church, an elder's wife in church. A situation happened in church that I had to take care of with my son. The way I took care of it, the elder's wife took offense. Yep. She was not pleased. Yeah. Never mind, it's my boy, you know, my lad. And I know him better than, you know, she does. But that's a different story altogether. So I tried to apologize. I said, I'm sorry, you know, if I hurt you, if I offended you. But the more and more I apologized and offended, it got worse and worse and worse. So she would not forgive me. Okay? So she would not forgive me. This is church. Yep. I don't like church, yeah. You think, you think to yourself, this isn't right. Well, it's not right. Very true. It's not right at all. Yep. So I went back to pray, and this is what I mean is when you surrender to Christ. I went to pray, and I prayed to the Lord. I said, God, I said, I tried to ask forgiveness, and I received none. And the Holy Spirit said, well, if you're not worthy of a person's forgiveness, then you're only worthy of the judgment, aren't you? Well, that was kind of making sense. Okay, I said, okay, I'll go there. So if you're only worthy of the judgment, will you wear the judgment? I said, what? I said, will you stand in judgment? And I said, Lord, I will. I'll do that. And the Holy Spirit unctioned me, says, because that's what I did for you. I stood in judgment on your behalf. You see? And I thought, well, I cried like a baby. I got tears right now. But you know what? But that's real to me. And I got closer to Jesus because of it. And you see, when you let things go, when you let your right to the cross of Jesus, you get closer to Jesus. And that's exactly what he wants to do. So don't let your blindness of your hatred carry you anymore. Don't give that person a right over your life. You give it to Jesus. Now, isn't it amazing? The Bible says that the law produces light in the darkness. It pierces light. So it's kind of like this. The Bible says in Galatians, the law is the tutor that leads people to Christ. Yep. That's the use of the law. It says once they come to Christ, then the law has done its purpose. So what does the law do? It's like this. You're wiping down, you're cleaning your house, and as soon as you get done cleaning your house, you open up the curtains and let the light in, and you can see a bit of dust that you missed. Yep. And you're like, okay. Well, that's what the law does, you see. The law reveals and just shines the dust that's already been there. It just exposes us. And that's exactly what I did in that illustration. Yep. The law says, look, forgive and you shall be forgiven. Yep. You don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. So by forgiving, I let that light shine. I was able to see the dust and wipe it clean. And so the question today for us all here is, what is your blind spot? What is your blind spot? Are you willing to take that to Jesus? Because only in realizing that you're blind can you ever cry out to him and say, O Son of David, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. And sometimes you just need to press through, don't you? Sometimes you just need to press into Jesus. You need to press into the Lord and Savior. Because people are saying, because people come to you and say, no, you have a right. What that person did to you was, you know, incorrect. Yeah, you have a right to be angry. Yeah, you have a right to be ticked off. Don't they? Bless their cotton socks? No. That's not the gospel, is it? That's not the gospel according to my... Not how I read it. Not the words of Christ. So you got to press on. And that's exactly what happened to blind Bartimaeus, isn't it? Yeah. So a blind Bartimaeus, he continues on, doesn't he? They try to quiet him down, don't they? Hush! But he gets louder. And so the song continues, and it goes, O Son of David, have mercy on me. That crowd keeps yelling, trying to silence me. But I won't stop praying, I got to believe. O Son of David, have mercy on me. O Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. He kept praying, didn't he? I got to believe. I'm not going to give up. Because Jesus was only going to walk by this pathway once. And it's like that in our life. Sometimes Jesus only walks past once. The opportunity exists as long as the opportunity is time in its existence. Because once it goes away, that opportunity is gone. You know, you try to get right with somebody and that person dies. That opportunity is gone, isn't it? Yeah. God's the God of the living, not of the dead. So if you have an opportunity to get right as far as you are able, because sometimes you aren't able. So in the situation that I gave you with this person, yep, she wasn't able to get it right with me because she didn't want to. I wanted to, she didn't. So as far as I was able, I was trying to get it right within that opportunity. So Jesus is passing by. And he cries out even more. So you got to understand that we have an enemy, don't we? Yep. The enemy, the devil. He doesn't like us. And what he wants to do is he wants to rob you of your joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our what? Strength. Yes, it is. So any way he can rob you of your joy, he will take it. The bad news is we just give it to him, don't we? Yeah. Yeah, the doubts, the fears come in. And we're like, okay, yeah, you're right, devil, here you go. Yeah. You can't love God today. Oh, must be true. Okay, well, here you go. Here's my joy. Yeah. Oh, there's no victory for you. Yeah. And we're like, oh, yeah, yeah, okay, no victory. Here you go. Here's my joy. And we just numb things, really. We just give it away. But we got to fight for that joy. We got a son of David, have mercy upon me. You said... And you get your breakthrough. Yeah. Don't let the devil rob you of your joy. The devil wants to rob us of our peace. Yeah. We live in a difficult world. You know, the message of the boat, when the storms were raging against the boat as they were crossing the sea, and Jesus calmed down and the waves stopped. One of the messages of the boat is, you know what, there's peace in the storms of our lives. And the storms that you are facing today, the storms that you will face tomorrow, because if you're not in a storm now, you will be sooner or later, because that's what life is all about, really, isn't it? You know, there's peace in that storm that you are going to go through right now. And there'll be peace in the storms that you will find facing further on, because it's a promise of God. So don't let the devil rob you of the peace that Jesus wants to give you. Does that make sense? Yeah, you got to fight for that. And say, God, you are my peace. I trust in you. Your holy word says, and you speak to your soul. Yep, know what that word of God says. He said, God, there's peace in the storm. Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, but do I give. Amen? Amen. You know, and he wants to rob you of your victory. True? What does it say in the book of 1 John? This is the victory that has overcome the world. And what is the victory that has overcome the world? Our faith. I'll help you. Yeah, there you go. That's a good scripture memory. What's the victory that has overcome the world? Our faith. Can we say it together? Our faith. Yeah, you got to say it out. You know, sometimes you just got to speak it out. Speak it out. Yep, just like I'm speaking. You got to speak it out. You know, God, just quote that scripture. Quote, God, I have faith in you. I trust in you because you are. You know, we sang songs about that, didn't we? Yep. Yeah. He's still the God of miracles. He's still a miracle-working God. Yep. And so we trust in him. And sometimes in our prayer, you know, we get robbed of the peace of God because we don't have the capability to say, I thank you, Jesus, for answering my prayers. Because when we pray, we doubt. And so we get robbed of our victory. We get robbed of our joy. Because we use that word, if. You know, there's only one time when that if was used. It says, if you are able. And Jesus was like, if I'm able? Yep. Because I'm able. Son got healed. And so sometimes we just need to say, thank you, Jesus, for saving my son. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me the victory over what I'm going through. God, you have got the answer, and I trust in your answer. Thank you, Jesus. You know, just that's a simple word, isn't it? Thank you. But I tell you what, it's so heart. I tell you what, when you say thank you for what you're praying for, God gives you the victory. Because that's what? Expectant faith, isn't it? So I was reading a book, and he said, have you ever played checkers? You love checkers? Yes? No? Checkers? I'm a game man. I've played checkers. Checkers is good. Yeah, so I move, and then you make a move, don't you? Yep. Then you make a move, and then I take three or four pieces because I'm better than you. Okay, that's just that checkers. No, I'm just teasing. I'm a bit of a gamer, so. But it's like how God. So God's waiting for us to move. And upon when we move by faith and say, thank you, Jesus, well, guess what? We have done that movement, haven't we? We said, God, I have put my trust in you. God said, that's what I want to hear. Thank you. And then it enables God to move. What happens is we don't allow the enablement for God to move because we haven't asked with expectant faith, have we? Yeah, we just kind of leave it on the floor. God wants to pick it up, but he's a gentleman and won't, because he wants to do something in your heart and life. He wants you to have that closer relationship with him. And you can only have a closer relationship with him is when we have expectant faith in our hearts and lives and say, God, but you said, Lord. Yeah. Does that make sense? Amen. Good. He wants to have victory over relationships. Look, there's relationships that are dead, gone, and buried. But God wants to resurrect some of those. You know, sometimes does it take you actions upon yourself? Yeah, sometimes it's just writing a letter. You know, we got WhatsApp. Sometimes just send a WhatsApp. It's like if you're not technophobia, you pick up a phone. There's so many things we can do to touch and to reach others. But one, you've got to be willing. Two, you got to remove the blindness. Yep. And you just got to do it. You know, like that Nike commercial. Yep. Just do it. Yeah. They got the guy, basketball. Do it. For Christians, we don't do it. And we don't do it. We don't get no response. And we wonder why. Because it takes an action. Yeah. You got to do something. You got to move. Bartimaeus cried out. If Bartimaeus didn't cry out, do you think we would be reading about blind Bartimaeus? No, I don't think so at all. He said, oh, son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy, Lord. Yeah, people trying to shut him up and talk him down. He cried out what? Even louder. Yeah. Somebody else shuts us down and we're like, oh, yeah, okay. All right. I give up. We become spineless, no backbone. You know, and God fills us with the Holy Spirit for what? To become witnesses, yet to encourage us. He gives us the strength. When we have no strength, He gives us the strength. Amen? So the Bible says, seek the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways and He will make your paths straight. Doesn't He? And seek Him while He can still be found. Now, I do like that. I remember a guy preaching about seeking while He could still be found. And it's like as if God's hard to find. And isn't that illustration? You ever played hide and seek with a two-year-old or three-year-old? You know what I'm saying? And they say, okay, go hide. And they're hiding, you find them. Okay, then it's dad's turn, or if you're auntie, or and then you hide, and then you hide. You hide behind something like this, don't you? Yeah. And they're like, oh, I can see you hiding behind that podium, aren't you? They're like, oh, I was. You found me. Easy to find. Yeah. Easy to find. And He wants you to seek Him. Yeah. Because He has so much to give us. And we settle, unfortunately, for so much less, don't we? Aye. So the good news is in our story, you know, Jesus tells him to come, though, doesn't He? I think, you know, so you got to understand about people. We are fickle at best. Yep. So, you know, I've been around, so 1981 I got saved, so been around church a while, and when I say fickle at best, I can relate to that. And so the same people that said, shut up, Bartimaeus, yeah, you're blind, nobody cares about you, don't have no time for you, those are hurtful words, aren't they? He's like, I'm not listening to that. He pressed in, and the same people that were told him to shut up said, oh, the master's calling you. Yeah, he's calling you. Come on, come on, come on. Why didn't you do that the first time? Fickle at best. If you understand how people are, they're easier to love because you understand who you are. Yeah. So the thing about blindness that I love is that when you get closer to Jesus, you realize, oh my God, I didn't see that. Yeah. And then you realize that, oh, wait a minute. Oh, God. You know, it's easier to love people when you realize who you are in Christ. When you realize you're a wretched sinner saved by the blood of Jesus. Who am I to judge? Yeah. The same. So it's our duty to bring people to Jesus. Just like these people. So it's our duty to bring people to Jesus. Do you know that? It's not the evangelist's job. It's not the pastor's job. It's your job to bring people to Jesus. You know, you kind of think, what? What's up with that? Yeah, God's given you a voice. So in Acts, it says when they got persecuted, everyone spread out and preached the gospel. There you go. Give you the word. It's in Acts. Yep. They preached. Who preached? The people preached. It wasn't the apostles. The people preached. They preached the word. Now, we're not all called to be pastors. Understand, I'm not saying that. Yep. Andrew's the pastor. Guys, he's got a call in his life to be a pastor. He's the pastor of the church. Yep. There's callings for evangelists. I'm an evangelist, so people tell me. But we're all called to preach this gospel message. Yep. You have the ability to tell somebody about Jesus. Yep. You have the capability to witness your testimony. So I gave my testimony in the very beginning. How did I get saved, didn't I? Very short, 3 to 5 minutes, 3 minutes at the most, didn't I? Yep. How did Jesus change your life? That's a good question, isn't it? Yeah. What did Jesus do to you? That's all you got to do. Oh, look, I was blind. I couldn't say, man, to myself, righteousness. See, and they'll go in again. All right, see, right there. Let me tell you how Jesus changed me and touched me. Yep. I found out I needed forgiveness, and I was forgiven of all my sins. The things that I don't want my mama to know about, yet my brother and sister don't know about. God knows, and he's forgiven me. How good is that? Yep. And your testimony is important. So look, the enemy tries to rob you from giving your testimony. Because if you share Jesus with other people, more people will be saved, won't they? Yep. The strategy is to try to get people in church. The strategy really is to get you guys to share the gospel message that is in your heart. Because it's in your heart to share. And God will give you power to do it. That's what he promised, didn't he? Yeah, there you go. It's good stuff, wasn't it? So, they brought him to Jesus. What's our responsibility? To bring people to Jesus. Look, I didn't say bring them to church. Did I? No. I didn't say bring them to church. Bring them to Jesus. Yep. Preach, 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 preach. Never be afraid of it. When in doubt, preach. And the good news is, and this is the best news, I love this story, is that Jesus called him, didn't he? And you know Jesus is calling you? Jesus calls your name. So he knows your name, and he's calling your name today. He says, won't you come, one, and be filled? Will you come and let me heal your blindness? Will you come and let me give you the resurrection power to become a witness to all the ends of the earth? In this little village, in this little town, in the places where you live, to your neighbors, to your friends, to the people in the coffee shops. They've never heard the gospel news. Jesus is calling your name. Will you let him use your life? He bids you to come. And if weary and heavy burden, he says, I will give you rest. Now, the good news is the man received his healing, didn't he? As Jesus asks the question, he says, well, what do you want from me? As a new convert, I always thought that was a stupid question. Do you know what I'm saying? Anybody agree with that? No? Okay. Maybe just a couple. Okay, I think it's a stupid question. Because just think, the guy's like this, isn't he? He's like, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, can you help me? He says, well, what's your problem? He's like, well, I got a stick. You know, you almost want to say, hello. Hello. But he says, I want to see you. Now, why would the Lord do that? That's the question, isn't it? Because he wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear it from your lips. He loves to hear from you. It's a relationship, isn't he? And so he comes to us. His mercies are new each day. He says, what's troubling you? What's your problem? Oh, Lord, you know. I want to hear it from you. Because when he hears it from you, it gives him ability to move his turn on the checkerboard, doesn't it? So we ask that question. And he says, be it accordingly to your faith. You know, it was snowing just the other day, wasn't it? Love the snow. No, I don't like the snow now that I'm older. Younger days it was. And so with my heater stopped working. Bit of a drag. Yeah, perfect time really, isn't it? Just like that. Trust me, that wasn't planned whatsoever. Yeah, so he just stopped working. And I thought, oh no. So the first thing you do is you check the fuse, don't you? If you don't know that, if this happens, check the fuse. Yeah, used to be an electrician at one point in my life. Check the fuse, change the fuse, and presto, change-o, boom, it worked. Way, heater's back on. Great story. But you see, so God wants us on fire for him. He wants the heat on. Yeah. And this blindness that we have in our lives will stop that heat like no tomorrow.
Yep.
It'll turn it off just like that. You ever pray, God, send the fire down? And God's, I wish I could, but I can't.
Yep.
We do more hindrance, you know, it's self-inflicted wounds, folks, self-inflicted wounds. We do more to stop the move of God than God wants to move in our lives.
Yep.
And so really, the fuse is blown. Yep. There's something happening. Change the fuse, the heat comes back on. And then pretty soon, everything's good to go. There's warmth, they're smiling. You're like, oh yeah, look at that heat, good to go. So God wants to put the fuse back in and give us his fire. Now, Matthew chapter 12, verses 20, I want to end with these scriptures, says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not extinguish till he leads justice to victory. So that's in Matthew 12. It's also in Isaiah 42:3. Yep. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not extinguish. Have you ever heard that scripture before? Yep. It's a good scripture, really, isn't it? But this is one of my favorite scriptures. Because there's nothing more fragile than a broken reed, isn't it? Yep. A broken reed, you can just snap it off, and it's no use to anyone. Yep. You ever felt like a broken reed?
Yeah.
Your faith was strong. You stood strong in the Lord. You said, oh, God, you can do anything. God, I just believe you for miracles, signs, and wonders. God, I pray. You're praying for souls of men to be saved, and your faith is great. And then something happens. Something changes in your circumstances. Your faith is wiped out, and you become a broken reed. No longer are the prayers of like, God, you can do this. It's like, oh God, I don't know if I can make it another day. And God says, a bent reed he will not break. And what he does by his love is he strengthens out that reed once again and makes it stand strong and firm by his love and by his compassion. There's nothing more than a smoldering wick, isn't it? Something so fragile. Yeah. You once burned flame fire. Yeah. Of the love of God. Nothing could hurt you. Because you got the love of Jesus. And lo and behold, hurts come, don't they? Lo and behold, the pains of life strikes you that you never thought could be stricken. And you're like, oh my God. And that love dissipates from your heart. So you just become that smolder. Oh, you love Jesus, but that, you know, you don't love him as much as you could, or it, you know, and so you're just a flickering flame. God's word there says he's not going to snuff you out. He's not going to go, psst, psst. He doesn't do that. What God's love does is he just gently just fans that smoldering wick until it becomes a burning flame shining bright for his love once again. And I think that's what God wants to do here this morning, this afternoon, is he wants to do exactly that. And all he needs is you to be willing for him to do it. Now, listen, I can go on and on and on about this scripture just alone, you know, about bruised reeds and smoldering wicks. The Bible's just full of them. The woman with the issue of blood, oh, if I just touch his garment, she was broken. Wasn't she? She had no money. She's seen the doctors. They all said, there's no hope for you. If I could just touch the hem of his garments, I'll be healed. And she was. What about the man with the disfigured hand in church? Everybody's just waiting to judge Jesus to see what he would do. And he said, stretch out your hand. And he stretched out his hand. What happened? He got the touch of Jesus, didn't he? What about the woman that was thrown at Jesus' feet for adultery? Remember that story? Yeah. Oh, Lord, you know what to do. So, says stoner. Yeah. And our Lord says, well, he's without sin, cast the first stone, and he bent down and started writing. And he looked back up, and he says, where are your accusers? He says, there is none. He says, neither do I. He says, go and sin no more. and restores such a one. It's a great story. It's lovely. And you know, and I say these things to encourage you. That's what the Word of God is, to encourage you. Say, you know what? You are not beyond God's hope, whatever situation is. Yep. No matter what you're facing right now, no matter where you are at, no matter what the past says, don't let your past rule your future. You can come to Jesus and say, God, heal me and make me new. God, heal me and make me fresh. Isn't that wonderful news this morning? That's what God wants to do here this morning in this country town, because he knows your name. He knows your name. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Hallelujah. God, I just thank you, Lord God, for your wondrous grace and love and mercy. That God, you know our name. Because some people here, you ask that question, God, do you remember my name? I'm going through some situation. I'm going through some bad times. Do you remember me? And God says, I remember your name. I know your name. Isn't that wonderful news? He knows your name. And he will carry you through. Will you just give it to him? Come to me, all who are weak and heavy burdened, heavy laden. And I, Jesus says, I will give you rest. Rest in the Savior. Maybe this morning I spoke about, you know, one time the flames of fire burned bright, but they're not burning bright anymore. Yeah. You feel like that bent reed. All hope just fizzed out of you. But God wants to restore your hope once again. Will you let him do that this morning? Will you let him restore your hope? Will you let him restore your dream? Because he is the restorer. He's restored me many and many times. And he wants to do the same to you. Is that, will you let him do that? And maybe this morning, you know, you realize that, oh my God, I have been blind. Trust me, when I read the word, I'm like that. I'm like, oh my God, I'm like this, Lord. I didn't know. And God lifts my blindness up, and I'm like, oh God, forgive me. And he says, I will. And he comes in and makes you a new and fresh person. Will you do that this morning? Amen. Come to Jesus. Come to the Savior. Amen. Amen.
Before we do our last song, two things came to me while Julio was giving our word there. One of them is, you've had dreams, you've had wild dreams that you've been given, and you've given it up. Well, God says, your wildest dream isn't wild enough. That's that one. And the other one was about the broken reeds. Now, at school, we had weaving classes, which were for baskets, believe it or not. Yes, I'm really that old. So what you had to do with these great big cane things was to actually soak it for hours. So that would be on a Thursday, we'd actually put it in the water to soak, ready for the Friday lessons, to make these baskets. Then you weaved it in and out, and you made whatever shape that you wanted. So you need to spend time soaking. Is what I've been given. Okay.
One of my favourite verses at the moment is from Romans. We don't have blind faith and we don't have blind hope. Romans 15, verse 13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." As we've already heard through Julia, we have the power, the Holy Spirit, to bring that change.
Amen.